serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water. And you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at iloveomfoods.com and, of course, on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. All right. We'll be getting up onto Non-Human Radio in just a second. Okay. Good evening and welcome to show 1948, the November 27th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal news, animal rights, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. We have a special guest in the studio. That is Sarah Downs from the Neighborhood Cat Advocates, and we will get to that interview momentarily. But I do want to let my listeners know that federal health and regulatory officials warned consumers last Friday not to eat romaine lettuce of any kind harvested from the Salinas Valley because it may be contaminated with a particularly dangerous type of E. coli bacteria that has sickened 40 people in 16 states. It doesn't matter if that lettuce is chopped, whole head, or part of a mix. Most romaine lettuce products are now labeled with a harvest location showing where they're grown, so you can check that. Officials said to throw out lettuce if it doesn't have a label specifying where it's from. No deaths have been reported in this E. coli outbreak, but the strain is the same one that caused outbreaks linked to leafy greens and romaine lettuce in the last 2 years. Just 2 days before Thanksgiving last year, the CDC issued an unusually broad alert warning consumers to avoid eating romaine lettuce of any kind in response to an outbreak. According to a 2018 fact sheet from the World Health Organization, an increasing number of outbreaks are associated with the consumption of fruits and vegetables, including sprouts, spinach, lettuce, coleslaw, and salads, whereby contamination may be due to contact with feces from domestic or wild animals at some stage during cultivation or handling. E. coli strain 0157 has also been isolated from bodies of water, such as ponds and streams, wells and water troughs, and have been found to survive for months in manure and water trough sediments. Where's that manure come from? Where's that water trough coming from? Animal agriculture. Waterborne transmission has been reported from contaminated drinking water and also from recreational waters. Just wanted to give you a heads up on the lovely benefits coming from the animal agriculture industry impacting human health. All right, onward. Today, my guest is local animal activist and cat lady, Sarah Downs. Listeners may remember Sarah as the former host of this show back when it was named Animal Matters and then became Sentience. A longtime vegan and advocate for human and non-human animals, she is one of the founders of a wonderful local organization, the Neighborhood Cat Advocates. And that is what we are here to talk about for the next 20 minutes or so, this local group. Welcome, Sarah, from Neighborhood Cat Advocates. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about what you're up to, what this group does. And
hi, Jeannie. Thanks for having me on the show. Okay, so Neighborhood Cat Advocates, a little bit of a background, sorry. We founded in 2013, but leading up to that, it was kind of a little brainchild of mine because of my experience working in the local shelter, not the current one, witnessing many cats dying every day. Unfortunately, it was really sad and heartbreaking, and I thought, you know, a lot of them were feral and scared. So I thought, you know, it'd be great to get out of this mess and start something that would help prevent all these cats from ending up in the shelter.
Okay, so let's just step back a second. Okay. What is a neighborhood cat? And what does your group do?
So neighborhood cat is anything from a feral cat to a stray cat, a cat just kind of wandering around the neighborhood, eating food off of everybody's porch.
A schmoozer cat, okay.
These are what we call neighborhood cats. Neighborhood cat advocates, what we do is basically we receive phone calls and messages from the public requesting our service, which is trap, neuter, return. Trap, neuter, return is exactly what it sounds like. The cats are trapped. They're taken to the vet, spayed and neutered. In some cases, you know, vaccinated and just kind of given a general health checkup. And then once they are ready to go, they are released back into their existing colony.
And who picks up the bill, the vet bill, and the labor involved with setting up the trap and transporting?
We do. We cover all the cost. So even if you were to reach out and say, hey, I need some help, you wouldn't have to worry about paying for any of it. Of course, donations are appreciated.
And you are a nonprofit?
Yes.
A 501c3, so?
Yes.
So donations are?
Tax deductible.
Awesome. Okay.
So our funding, in case you're curious, comes from our thrift store, which is called Paw Prints Thrift. It's on First and Longfellow, right across the street from In Motion Fitness. It's a really cute little store. I won't get into too much detail. I love it. But that's where we get the majority of our funding, and of course we do receive donations. When we were first starting out, actually, we received a large donation from a member of the public who's pretty involved in animal rescue efforts. I don't want to say her name, but that's kind of what got us started. Without that, I don't think we would have been as successful as we are. So that was in 2013, and so here we are in 2019. So just some data for you, because I'm so proud of these numbers.
So you saw an issue, mm-hmm. Which was the wholesale euthanasia,
yes,
of feral and stray cats, mm-hmm. right at our shelters, mm-hmm. period. And so I know one of the policies that our Chico Animal Shelter adopted was that they do not intake feral or stray cats. Like if somebody calls from the community and says, I've got a feral cat on my property, come pick it up, or they grab it and they bring it in, mm-hmm. they're like, no, you have to put it back.
Yeah.
Because they will not, because there's no good outcome for a feral or stray unsocialized cat.
Right.
In our so-called shelter system, right? It's not designed, right, to shelter these types of animals. It is designed to shelter lost pets.
Correct.
And get them home again.
Right.
Okay. So your group helps with that issue.
Yes. So our goal, obviously, is to reduce the cat population as much as possible. And I will say not all cats are returned to the colony. If we can, we will adopt them out if there's kittens. They'll get put into foster care. I just dealt with some kittens at the colony that I take care of, and they're doing well. So cute. So yeah, that's our long-term goal.
Okay. And you've been at it, and Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates, you've been, your group has been at this for, did you say since about 2013?
Yes.
And you have traps, you have some great volunteers.
Yes.
You can always use more.
Yes.
What kind of success have you made in and you, and your group primarily works in Chico or Butte County?
Butte County. We try to limit our distance because there are some outlying communities that have just an enormous problem with feral cats. But sometimes we do take on specific situations if it's, you know, a real dire situation.
Okay. All right. So primarily focusing on Chico. Mm-hmm. What are your numbers? Let's hear about your good work.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So just to sidestep a little bit, our group also helps people with spaying and neutering their own animals, their owned, I don't like that word, but their pets. So we do assist with that. We also help people pay for their dog spay and neuters. So here's our numbers here. So, owned cats. We've spayed and neutered 2,559 cats.
So you've helped 2,559 cats belonging to people?
Yes.
To residents of the area?
Yes.
Get spayed and neutered?
Yes.
Awesome.
Dogs, we've spayed and neutered 1,144.
Oh, so you're cross-species assistance. You're not just neighborhood cats.
No. We do help people with other animals if they need.
Okay.
And then our TNR numbers, trap, neuter, return numbers, we've spayed and neutered 7,174 cats.
Wait, can you repeat that number?
7,174 cats.
That is a lot of kittens not being born.
Yes. And I failed to get the numbers, but a single female cat can give birth to 2 litters of kittens a year, maybe more. More. And then those kittens breed, and those kittens breed, and those kittens breed. So one cat can lead to thousands of other cats.
I think it's an interesting situation because typically a community cat, a cat that doesn't belong to someone, if he or she is surviving, if they are surviving, someone is feeding that animal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just them scrounging food. It's usually they're finding someone putting out well-intentioned, a good Samaritan putting out food.
Right.
And if that good action isn't also counteracted by neutering, that results in more suffering.
Right.
Uncountable suffering.
Yeah, that one cat will multiply into an enormous amount before you even know what's going on.
Yeah, cats are very good at, very resourceful at finding food, finding shelter, because mm-hmm. they need those things, and then finding a mate.
Yes, they're so good at that.
Okay, Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates. Carry on.
Okay.
So you've been doing all this great work. I assume you want to your group needs to continue and wants to continue doing this great work.
Yes. So we're almost at 10,000 cats at this point, but we want to do so much more. And what we need right now are volunteer trappers. We've got one person that can trap, and she's kind of burnt out. There's just too much to do. So we're looking for more people. So what we're looking for is someone who has the time. So, you know, working full time is great, but you need to be available in the morning and in the evening. The ability to lift 25 pounds, that's a trap with a cat inside. The ability to transport, having housing to hold them overnight before their surgery, and then hold them overnight after their surgery so they can recover.
Okay, so why don't you give us an example of what a typical trapping situation is like, just to give paint a picture in the listener's ears mm-hmm. about what it means to do this type of work.
So when you're going to start trapping, obviously you've got a cat or cats that you're focused on. You're probably already feeding them. What you want to do first is not feed them for 24 hours.
Is this something that your group does, or is this something that that you get the person who's reported the cat in the area, the feral or stray cat?
We love it if the people will do it.
Okay.
Are you talking about feeding or?
Yes. Yeah. This preparation before the trapping happens.
Oh, yes. So whenever someone calls and we're going to head out to trap, we instruct them to not feed the cats. And the reason that is if their bellies are full, they're not going to go into some strange contraption, no matter what you put in there. So if they're hungry, they'll go in. You want something stinky in there, sardines, mackerel, tuna sometimes will work. I mean, if they're hungry, they're hungry. They're going to go in. You put the food in the trap. You cover the trap with a towel, blanket, or something like that, which kind of makes it feel a little more safe and cozy. They smell that food in there. They go in, they step on the lever, and wham, got a cat.
Okay.
So then you know, after that, you want to take the kitty home. If you can take the kitty straight to the vet, awesome, but that doesn't usually happen. It's a lot easier to trap in the evening, actually, in our experience. And you take the kitty to the vet, get them all taken care of, bring them back. It's really quite simple, like the process of it. It's just, it can be kind of time consuming. And, you know, if you're working a large colony, then it can be exhausting. But at the end of the day, it's incredibly rewarding knowing that you are helping not just one cat, and not just all the cats that you've trapped, but all the cats that are not being born as a result of your trapping.
So
it feels good.
So it does? It's like a trapper's high?
I think so anyway, yeah.
How many cats have you trapped?
Oh, gosh. Before I moved up here from Southern California, I was taking care of a colony. And I want to say 15 to 20 there. And then where I'm at now, I took over the care of a colony that we had already trapped. So I've trapped any newcomers that have come in. So it's not as many as I would like, but it's, you know, it's enough to make a dent in the population that I'm caring for right now.
Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates, her group is looking for volunteers to become cat trappers.
Yes.
And you guys, your group provides the traps and you provide the support. I assume you don't just like explain what you just did over the radio and said, and say, here, go out and do it.
Good luck.
there's some mentoring involved. And
Yeah.
Okay.
The traps can be, you know, kind of hard to understand at first, and making sure you're placing the food in the right spot, making sure you're setting the trap lever in such a position where it's sensitive enough to trigger when the cat steps on the lever, for lack of a better word. All that, you know, it can seem kind of like daunting at first, but once you get going, you get a good routine going, you start to get to know your colony, you start to get to know the cats, it becomes kind of a piece of cake.
And who arranges the appointment, the veterinarian appointment for spaying, neutering? Because you don't want to trap if there's no vet who's going to be able to.
Exactly. You want to make sure there's an appointment the very next day or that day if you can do it.
Okay, so the trapper does that part too?
Yes.
But the vet or the vet assistant takes care of all the other stuff, like releasing the cat from the trap and putting the cat back into the trap so you can...
Oh, after surgery and all of that? Yes.
Okay.
You know, once you hand off the cat to the vet, you just have to wait for the cat to be ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't have to... In other words, there's no risk to a trapper generally. If you're following procedures, there's no risk of getting scratched or bitten or anything like that, because the cat is because I imagine the cat's can be pretty angry at being trapped.
They are 100% not happy. They're confused, they're scared, but it's that, you know, versus going to the shelter and getting their lives taken from them. So cats are hardy. They do great outside. This particular time of year is not my favorite because, you know, cats hate being cold. But, you know, proper shelter, any kind of support you can give them, they do great. There's the cats that I've been taking care of myself at this particular colony. Some of them have been around for a number of years, even before I started taking care of them. And I'm like, how are you guys still, like, surviving? I'm such a baby. I can't be outside in the cold. So, cats, you know, cats do really well. It's just a matter of getting them spayed and neutered and, you know, just to check up to make sure everything looks okay and put them back, and they'll do great.
Okay. How can listeners find out about Neighborhood Cat Advocates and get in touch if they're interested in volunteering or just learning or donating or learning about more?
So we're pretty active on Facebook. You can just type Neighborhood Cat Advocates into the search bar and find us that way. You can also visit our website, which is catadvocatestnr.org. And our phone number, if you're interested in becoming a trapper volunteer, that number is 530-324-2292.
Okay, and that's a message number.
Yes.
And someone else will pick up that message and get back to you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
there's one thing I wanted to touch upon. There are opponents to the trap neuter return.
I was going to get to that. Thank you. Tell us about that.
So there's, you know, particular groups, bird groups, wildlife groups who are pretty persistent about outdoor cats and their impact on wildlife, particularly birds. At the end of the day, though, yes, cats do kill birds, of course. That's just their natural instinct. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about that other than keep them inside. Man is the greatest bird predator in this country. I mean, we're talking about 100 million birds running into buildings and windows and you know, things like that 80 million getting hit by cars. The birds that get hit by planes, you know, as they're landing and taking off. Birds that are that get caught up in any sort of pesticide residue or anything they may eat that has pesticides.
Oh, right, yes, like we've talked about, yeah, rodenticide accumulation.
Exactly.
Up into apex predators. Yeah.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, we're talking, I don't know, maybe even billions of birds killed by human impact alone. So, you know, compared to that, the number of birds that may be killed by cats is a drop in the bucket. So, you know,
and ultimately, I mean, I am a birder. I do understand the arguments for that come from the birding
sure.
community.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, cat advocates like yourself, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but in the end, you guys don't want outdoor cats either. Ultimately,
No. Ultimately,
all humans do their job, their duty, their responsibility to their fellow human creatures.
Right.
And spay, neuter, and eventually, over time, that problem, that's the goal. That's the goal of that we all have, right?
Absolutely.
It's just the whether the timeline is humane or not humane or even effective.
Right.
Right? Because there is, I mean, so let's say, I was looking at, by the way, folks, our own Chico Animal Shelter has an excellent page on feral cats and the laws relating to feral cats under California and county law.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a good explainer piece about what we're going to talk about now, which is the vacuum effect. When you mm-hmm. Remove all the cats in an area, you think you've done a good job, but that's just a momentary fix because...
Right. The cats are there because there's a food source, whether it's a human providing the food or it's a dumpster or there's, you know, rodents, whatever it could be. The cats, if they've found a good spot, they're going to just keep coming back. So you remove all the cats from there, boom, you've got a whole other population moving in. So that's been the way people have done it for decades. Remove the cats, you know, take them to the shelter, have them all euthanized. Or I should actually use the word killed. That doesn't work. Trap, neuter, return has been proven effective for the last 30, 40 years. And in our own practices, we've been able to see cat populations decline in the colonies that we've taken care of.
Sure. Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates, your group provides as much of these services directly to the animals, to mm-hmm. the cats, by providing neutering and spaying, as well as all the vouchers that are available for individual community members to have that mm-hmm. taken care of. You've also provided an enormous amount of education.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, this is a cultural problem. It's our culture of, I guess, tolerating free-roaming cats.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the best care of, in my opinion, the best care of a cat is a indoor cat with supervised outside access.
Sure, yes.
And we only get to that point where 100% of cats are under that kind of care by an educated, compassionate human population.
Absolutely. I think people are, you know, they're used to seeing cats around. You know, there's a Harris poll where the people that were polled, 81% said they would rather see a cat stay outside than end up in the shelter and get killed. So I think people are just kind of accustomed to seeing cats outside, and that's great, you know, but at the end of the day, we need to get them all spayed and neutered, or you're going to see not one cat, but 30 cats. As we've seen, we get calls from people who say, you know, my mom had one cat and another cat showed up and now she's got 20 cats and please help.
And, you know, and your group, as you said, if you get called soon enough,
mm-hmm.
you can help. Of course, with the trapping and neutering, but also if there's kittens,
mm-hmm.
Or if the cat is helpful,
mm-hmm.
or amenable to being domesticated,
mm-hmm.
that can then that cat gets also off the street.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So again, your greatest need right now is
Trapper Volunteers.
And the best way for folks to reach your group, and say the name again?
Neighborhood Cat Advocates. We are very active on Facebook, so just do a search for Neighborhood Cat Advocates. You'll see us there with a little cat picture. And then our phone number is 324-2292. Just leave a message and we'll get right back to you and get you set up to start trapping.
Okay, that was Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates. I'll go ahead and post the show notes with links, and also I'll post a link to our own Chico Animal Shelter webpage with information on all the vouchers that are available in our community. Gridley Biggs Animal Control is also starting a trap, neuter, return policy in their group, or in their area. And just thank you so much, Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I really appreciate you having me on, and support your local cats by getting them spayed and neutered.
There you go. And now's a good time to do it before they start getting into kitten, as they call it, kitten season, and start having babies.
Our worst nightmare.
So. All right. You've been listening to Sarah Downs on non-human, Sarah Downs from Neighborhood Cat Advocates on non-human radio here on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by yours truly, Jeannie Trezino. Thank you again for being my guest, Sarah Downs.
Of course.
All right. And now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Please get ready to mark your calendars. We have a couple of things going on. For Thanksgiving Day, that is tomorrow, Gogi's Cafe in Chico will be hosting an all-vegan, all-you-can-eat Indian-style vegan buffet on Thanksgiving Day from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Gogi's is located at 230 Salem Street in downtown Chico. For more information, please see Gogi's Facebook page and the event that they have set up for it. On November 29th, the Chico chapter of Anonymous for the Voiceless is organizing a Cube of Truth event on Black Friday, November 29th, from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Chico City Plaza. For more information on this group and their upcoming events, please join the Facebook group Anonymous for the Voiceless Chico Chapter. Everyone is welcome. The Cube of Truth is a structured, non-confrontational outreach event evoking performance art. And it's to instill curiosity, interest, and compassion in bystanders. And save the date for December 14th, the holiday pop-up for compassion, a benefit night for Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary, which will be happening on December 14th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Breathe Yoga Studio, located at 830 Broadway in Chico. The event is offering you a chance to shop, eat, sip champagne, and be pampered while supporting rescued farm animals. Of interest to some, it offers a chance to see and buy artwork from our local artist, Caitlin Schwerin, who, even though she lost her home in the campfire, will be in Chico with her art to support Blackberry Creek Farmed Animal Sanctuary. For more information and updates, follow the Holiday Pop-Up for Compassion Facebook event, which you can find on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page calendar. This is a heavy Facebook event. check that out. She's got food lined up. I think Ohm Foods is going to be providing some vegan eats on that day, as well as Spiro Foods, which is a vegan cheese startup out of the Bay Area. All right. As always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Our quote of the week today is from Shel Silverstein, who wrote the following poem. Thanksgiving dinners sad and thankless, Christmas dinners dark and blue, when you stop and try to see it from the turkey's point of view. Sunday dinner isn't sunny, Easter feasts are just bad luck, when you see it from the viewpoint of a chicken or a duck. Oh, how I once loved tuna salad, pork and lobsters, lamb chops too, till I stopped and looked at dinner from the dinner's point of view. My thanks again to my guest, Sarah Downs with Neighborhood Cat Advocates. I hope that listeners are interested in volunteering or donating or otherwise supporting that wonderful group, Neighborhood Cat Advocates. Show notes and links to the articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on Instagram at Chico Vegan. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening. And coming up next, we have California Burning, a radio documentary from local radio journalist